Today on Brave, a brand new message from Jeff Schwarzentraub.
Sometimes we think that faith means we're going to see the completion of everything that God does. And I'm here to tell you, if it's of the Lord, in all likelihood, you'll never see the fulfillment of everything God's put on your heart. I mean, here's the way I would ask the question to you. With all the vision you have and all the steps of faith you want to take, I want to ask you this. If your vision was interrupted by the return of Christ, would you be excited or bothered that your vision wasn't realized?
Welcome to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Schwarzentraub, founder and lead pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. Fairy tales and feel-good movies usually wrap up with some variation of happily ever after. But in the real world, future challenges and tough times are always to be expected. And that's especially true when it comes to faith. Today on Brave, Pastor Jeff begins a sobering lesson about the challenges all Christians should be prepared to face in their walk with God. It's the next part of our series in the book of Hebrews called The Greatest. And if you've missed any of this study so far, you can catch up at bravemedia.online. Now, here's Pastor Jeff with the beginning of a message titled, The Challenges to Faith.
This morning I want to talk to you about the challenges of a new behavior. What it looks like to know that you want to do something, but then actually putting it into practice, how difficult that can become. Perhaps you remember when you were a little kid and you were 4 or 5 years old and learning to ride a bike, and there was the excitement of learning to ride. But when you got on, you realized nobody could teach you balance in a classroom. You had to learn it yourself. You learned how to wobble. You probably fell. You learned that you didn't want to do that again. And so you continued to progress and get better. For those of you that are older than 16, you may remember when you got your license and how excited you were to have your own independence and be able to go places without your parents or others driving you someplace. But then you learned about the challenges of what having a car meant and the responsibilities it had, and you had to pay for maybe insurance or gas or different things that went along with it. Or perhaps it was going to college. Perhaps it was an advanced degree. Perhaps it was starting a new job where you had the faith and the vision to say, I want to take this step. But then when you started stepping in that direction, you realize it's a whole lot harder than what I thought. There's some challenges to doing this. I mean, all of the good things in life that we would walk through all have challenges to them, and faith is no different. And last week we talked about walking by faith and not by sight. We talked about how our personal witness matters and trusting the Lord's word implicitly and applying his word implicitly and then seeking him so we could be rewarded. And as you heard that message, you said, that's what I want. I'm a Christian. I want to walk like that. And God wants you to walk like that, but he also wants you to know there's challenges to walking like that. That just because you desire to live a life filled with faith doesn't mean that you just walk out into the world and it just automatically happens. There's some challenges, and today I want to address 5 challenges to living by faith. 5 challenges that you're going to need to overcome, that you can overcome if you will walk by faith. And so this morning we're going to be in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, talking about what the 5 challenges of faith are. We're going to begin in verse 7 and go through verse 22 today. And so I'll read it out loud and then we'll unpack these 5 challenges together. Here's what he says. He says, by faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, there was born even of one man, and him as good as dead at that, as many descendants as the stars of heaven in number, and innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. All these died in faith without receiving the promises, but having seen them and welcomed them from a distance, and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For those who say such things, make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. And indeed, if they had been thinking of that country from which they went out, they would have had the opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was offering up his only begotten son. It was he to whom it was said, "In Isaac your descendants shall be called." He considered that God is able to raise people even from the dead, from which he also received him back as a type. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, even regarding things to come. By faith, Jacob, as he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the exodus of the sons of Israel and gave orders concerning his bones. And here in these verses, I love chapter 11 of Hebrews. There's so much to unpack, but really what we're going to take a look at is of five challenges of faith. Five things that if you were to walk out of this building and say, I want to live faithfully, five challenges that will keep you and work with you and work at you from being that faithful person that God wants you to be. And all of these things that I'm going to talk to you about today are overcomable. You are an overcomer in Christ and you can overcome them. But we need to be aware of what's going to fight against the faith that God wants us to have. And the first is this. The first challenge to faith involves being the minority that reverences God. One of the first challenges to faith is being the minority that reverences God. Notice Noah. He's going to talk about Noah in verse 7. He says, by faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence, prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Now think about the calling of Noah. We love the Noah story. For most people, when they begin to read through the Bible, if they don't have faith in Christ, we'll get to Genesis chapter 6 and beyond and start saying, I just don't believe it. You can't tell me that there were some people that God saved in a big boat with all the animals. And even if you look at depictions of what that looks like a floating bathtub people have with giraffes' heads sticking out of it. And they make it like a cartoon, like it really didn't happen. It did happen just the way that God said that it happened. God called Noah and his generation to do two different things. One is to build an ark. That ark was to house him, his family, and anybody else who would repent for their wickedness and trust in Christ as God was getting ready to pour out his wrath on the world. That's what he did. And then a pair of each of the animals would come in so that God could repopulate the earth with all the different species of animals. The second thing he was called to do was to preach the righteousness of God. Noah was considered a faithful preacher of righteousness. That's all he was called to do. But guess what he was in his generation? He was the minority position. Because at the end of his life, do you know how many people were saved under his preaching ministry? Eight. His wife, his three sons, and their wives. That's it. He preached to the entire world for 120 years and eight people got saved. So not only was he called to preach, he was called to put into practice what God showed him, which was what? Build an ark. He built an ark. It's an ocean line cruiser the size of a football field and a half. Now, it's interesting because it doesn't tell us that Noah had any experience in building an ark. It was just told he was called to build one. But this is in a time when the Bible makes no reference to even rain because the earth at the time was watered from underneath. So here he's called to build an ark and then explain to people, yeah, but it's going to really flood bad and you want to get on this boat. I mean, Noah would have been the butt of everybody's joke in his generation for 120 years. Everybody made fun of him. Everybody mocked him. Everybody's like, who's the guy talking about God and building a boat? What an idiot. Here's the question. We love the story of Noah because we know he heard God and we know he did what God said and we saw the fruit of it. Here's the point. Noah was the minority in his generation and he walked faithfully with God. One of the challenges to faith is being the minority. The minority in your household, where in your family, you're the only one walking with Christ and nobody wants to hear about it. To be the minority at your job, where you're the only one walking with Christ in your job and you're kind of the butt of everybody's joke in your job. Or you're the one in school who's the one person in your school that's walking with Christ. I mean, here's what I find that God tests in our faith. Oftentimes, he'll use us as the minority, the one that's going a little bit different direction to see if we're still gonna follow God when all the people around us, even our sphere of influence, even people that love us, don't understand why it is we're doing what we're doing. It's one of the big challenges of faith. I mean, all of us love the idea of what God's spoken into our heart, we want to see fulfilled, and we want to go after that. And then we expect all of our Christian friends and all of our families and all the people at work to say, oh, that's great, I'm so for you. What you will find is when you step out in faith, at some point in time, you will be the minority. You'll be going in a direction different than everybody else. And because you're going in that direction and pursuing that direction, it's going to be hard for other people. Noah reverenced God. That means he called God holy. He was being the minority that reverenced God. It meant this, he was honoring God. It's easy to honor God when you're in a church building where everybody else is honoring God. I mean, even if you don't want to honor God, you can at least stand here where other people are honoring God and say it's okay. But sometimes it's difficult to honor God when you're in a hostile environment where you're the one person that's saying things differently, speaking things differently, living differently than the other people around you. Noah honored God. It's difficult to do alone. But I find that God takes us through seasons and takes us through paths to challenge our faith and to grow our faith where we're comfortable being the minority that reverences God. And notice what else it said about him. It says that he condemned the world. He condemned the world in verse 7. He had reverence for God by which he condemned the world. He had the salvation of his household. He condemned the world. How did he condemn the world? God's the one that condemned the world. How was Noah a participant in that? Because Noah was preaching the righteousness of God, like any good preacher will do, and say that God is holy and you're not, and you need to get right with God, and you need to repent, you need to trust God by faith. And that's what every faithful preacher in every generation is doing. And the fact is, the majority of people in every generation think that that's foolishness. One of the challenges to being faithful is wanting to fit in with everybody else. Yeah, I have my faith, but when I'm around my non-Christian friends or my non-Christian family or my people that aren't as deep as me, I water it down a little bit. I don't want to be known as that guy. I don't want to be known as that gal. I'm gonna ease into it a little bit. One of the challenges to being faithful is that you're the same everywhere. You're not a Christian chameleon just fitting into wherever you go. That you're consistent in your walk with God. You know, Paul talked about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 15, 16, and 17. Here's what he says. He says, for we are a fragrance of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one, an aroma from death to death, and the other, an aroma from life to life. And who is adequate for these things? In other words, if you live the gospel, like if you live it out, you speak it, you live it, you let people know I'm a sinner, Christ forgave my sins, he's the only way, you need to repent and trust Christ too. If you live that out to the full, to some, you will be the aroma of life. There will be some people that will say, that's exactly what I've been looking for my whole life. I needed Christ. We had 72 kids at High Five this week that said, I need Christ. That's what I'm looking for, right? We have adults that say, I need Christ. That's what I'm looking for. You become the aroma of life to them. But for those that reject that truth, guess what you become? The aroma of death. They think you stink. They think you're narrow-minded and you're a bigot and that you don't care for anybody. You don't have tolerance for everybody. Just by being who God wants you to be, to some, you become a life giver. And to some, you promote the death that they're already experiencing on the inside. He goes on to say, for we are not like many peddling the word of God, but as from sincerity, but as from God, we speak in Christ in the sight of God. Paul was saying, I don't water down the word. I don't act different when I'm among Jews or when I'm among Gentiles or when I'm among pagans or when I'm among Christians. I'm the same all the time. It's who I am. This is who I am. I'm not peddling the word of God. I'm not doing what I do so that you'll pay me. I'm not saying what I say so that you'll like me. I'm preaching the authority of Christ and his holiness and his righteousness. And not only am I proclaiming it, I want to live it. And not perfectly, but I want to grow in it. That's what he was saying. That's what Noah did for 120 years. Faithfully proclaiming, faithfully being obedient, 8 people in all were saved that came out of that ark a year later and repopulated the earth, which is why we're here. Faithfulness in your generation. One of the challenges to you walking faithful is, are you willing to be the minority? Are you willing to be the minority in the world? Are you willing to be that neighbor? I'm talking about, are you really willing to live for Christ? Because all throughout biblical history and world history, here's what we see, that very few people want to walk at that level in their faith. That's a minority. God's always used a remnant. Will you be part of that? And notice this, it says he became an heir of righteousness by faith. Righteousness has always been by faith. He wasn't righteous because he built the ark, and he wasn't righteous because he was a preacher. He was righteous because he heard God and believed God. We're not righteous because of the good things we do. We're righteous because we've trusted Christ. And if we've trusted Christ, God will do good things in and through us. But we're not righteous because of our works. It's because we're righteous that we do good works. Here's the question, friends. Listen. Are you willing to be the minority for Jesus Christ? Are you willing to be the minority when you're in a foursome on the golf course and you're the only Christian? Will you speak it and live it in such a way that the other three, you're the aroma of life or the aroma of death for them? When you go to sporting events, when you go to concerts, are you the aroma of life and the aroma of death, where people see your life and they know you're so different than me? You've changed. You don't do what I do. You don't live like I live. You don't talk like I talk. That's being the minority. And very few people choose to live that way, which is why very few people are walking the walk of faith. But here's the good news. You can walk that walk. The good news is God says, I'll walk with you. You put me first, I'll walk with you. Right? Where is God calling you to do something where if you do it, you're the minority opinion? I mean, this word is different. If you believe the Bible, you're a minority in our culture. Did you know that? And if you're gonna walk it and you're gonna live it, then God's gonna use you for different things. A challenge to the faith is being the minority. Are you willing to be the minority? If you are, God can use you greatly. The second challenge to faith is this. It's hearing clearly without clarity. Let me say that again. Another challenge to faith is hearing clearly, but without clarity. Notice verse 8. It says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was called to receive for an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. Abraham hears God clearly. He tells him, you're going to be the father of a great nation, and you need to go and take the land. And Abraham went, but he didn't know where he was going. Abraham was a pagan from Ur of the Chaldees. Can you imagine him telling his dad? What are you doing? Well, God spoke to me. What God? God, the God of the universe. He told me I'm gonna be the father of a great nation. Well, where are you going? I don't know. I clearly heard him, but there's no clarity to what I heard. You can hear God clearly, but he rarely gives clarity. Let me tell you what I mean. For many of us, we're waiting for God to tell us something huge, like quit your job and go to seminary. Sell all you own and move to Africa. He's never told me that before, so I guess I'm not hearing him. When that's not what God's saying, sometimes we clearly hear God through a message. We clearly hear God in a message, hey, you need to give a little more of your resources. We clearly hear God in a message, you need to break up with them. We clearly hear God in a message, you need to start living faithfully in that area. And then we begin to wonder, well, how's that gonna work out? I mean, if I let go of this job and go the way you go, I mean, what job's coming for me? If I let go of this person I'm dating and go this way, where's my spouse? And you know what God says in those things? He sometimes doesn't talk because he wants to know that you're gonna take the step of faith and then he'll provide. You heard him clearly, you just don't have clarity. The older I get and the more seasoned I get in my faith, the more comfortable I am with ambiguity, because faith is always a walk of ambiguity. I mean, God's given me vision for so much for this church, but I have no idea how we're gonna get there, right? I have to listen to him and listen to him and listen to him and listen to him. And sometimes here's what I'm thinking. And then I test that with some advisors, or I pray about that some more. And that's not what it is. It's constantly walking with Christ. He doesn't give us this plan. John 10 verse 27 says that my sheep hear my voice. He said, I've never heard the voice of the Lord. Well, you've already been hearing him today if you've been listening to this message. Sometimes we're waiting for this subjective little voice that God's gonna bump me or nudge me. And he does speak today. And his Holy Spirit does whisper to us. But I'm telling you, a majority of the time, if you just get in his word and you read it and you believe it and you say, Lord, I'm listening, speak. God has a word for you from his word. And the more acquainted you are with this word, the more familiar you'll be with his voice, because his voice never contradicts this book, because the Holy Spirit wrote this book. So when someone says, well, the Lord's calling me to divorce my spouse, I'm like, he didn't say that. I know he didn't say that, because he doesn't speak that way, because I know his word, right? So we have to be familiar with his word. And then we have to be familiar, because the Bible says in Proverbs 16:9, the mind of man plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. God wants to direct our steps. Psalm 119 says, thy word is a what? Lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. How do you take the lamp with you? You got to take a step. If Jesus is the light, then you got to take a step. And then it lights up here and you take another step and then it lights up here. Rarely have I ever seen God open up the runway and light up the next 30 years. And like I said, even if he does, it's more of a vision for where he wants to take you than how he's going to get you there. Because God has a way of taking you on a path that looks so different than what you would have planned if you would have planned it yourself. God's ways are different than your ways. That's what he wants you to know. See, it's all about the pursuit of God's coming kingdom. We pray, let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What does that mean? It means I want to walk by faith in such a way that what's going on in heaven starts happening on the earth through what you want to do in my life. And I'm trying to live my life and align my life now with what your word says and what you're saying to me so that I can continue to do what you want me to do. It's hearing clearly without clarity. Abraham went, even though he didn't know where he was going. God has a way of unfolding it as we go, not letting us know before we get there. And if we're really excited about God's vision, we'll be excited about the way in which he wants to do it. Notice verses 9 and 10. Talking about Abraham, it says, by faith he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise, for he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. So here he has faith to go where God tells him to go. He doesn't know where he's going. He gets to the place he's going, and guess what he gets to do? Live in a tent. I mean, I'm not an outdoor enthusiast. That doesn't sound fun to me. I mean, if God's taking me to a place, I mean, build me a fat house. Build me somewhere with air conditioning. He's living in tents. He's a foreigner in the land that God promised him. So when he walks into the land, he doesn't say, God told me to be here. This is my land. Y'all need to leave. He came in and lived in a tent and was faithful to what God called him to do. And guess what? It wasn't just his generation. It was his son's and his grandson's generation as well. They all lived in tents. They were all waiting for God to fulfill his promise. Sometimes we think that faith means we're going to see the completion of everything that God does. And I'm here to tell you, if it's of the Lord, in all likelihood, you'll never see the fulfillment of everything God's put on your heart. I mean, here's the way I would ask the question to you. With all the vision you have and all the steps of faith you want to take, I want to ask you this. If your vision was interrupted by the return of Christ, would you be excited or bothered that your vision wasn't realized? I mean, for some of us, we tell God things like this, like, Lord, here's the deal. Here's the deal. I'm gonna serve you like this. I'm gonna make this kind of money. I'm gonna do these kind of things. I'm gonna go here, go there, even though the word of God says you don't even know what a day may bring forth. But you tell God all these things that you're gonna do. And once you get to this place, then you're going to, and you fill in the blank. Friends, that is not the voice of God. The voice of God is, God, I want to give you everything I have right now to the full in every possible way I can right now. And I don't know exactly what that looks like for me, but if you'll show me the next step to take, I'll take that step for you.
You're listening to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Swarzentraub, and the beginning of a message titled, The Challenges to Faith. We're currently in a study of the book of Hebrews, gaining a better understanding of the greatness of God and what it means to talk to him in faith. Pastor Jeff titled this series, The Greatest, and you can find each lesson and catch up anytime at bravemedia.online. And if you've been a listener to Brave for some time and you value these solid biblical teachings, consider helping us continue to share these gospel messages by supporting the ministry with a donation of any amount. Our mission is to save, mature, and multiply brave disciples of Jesus Christ by boldly sharing the truth of God's Word. And as we expend resources necessary to bring these gospel messages to new listeners, we're so thankful for fellow believers like you willing to give what they can to support that effort. And you can make a one-time donation of any amount today with just the touch of a button at bravemedia.online. When you get there, click the Donate tab. If you'd rather send a check in the mail, write to us at Brave Church, 3651 South Colorado Boulevard, Englewood, Colorado, 80113. Again, that's 3651 South Colorado Boulevard, Englewood, Colorado, 80113. Now, before we close today's program, we want to invite you to visit us in person for weekend services. Join us this Sunday at our campus in Englewood or our second location in Westminster. And no matter where you're listening from, you can join us right from home through our live stream. For more details about our weekend services, go to bravemedia.online and at the bottom of the homepage, click the button labeled Brave Church. And if you'd like to connect with Pastor Jeff and share a comment or a question, You can do that by email, hello@bravechurch.co. That wraps up today's program. I'm Bill Carl, and we'll meet back here tomorrow for part two of today's lesson, The Challenges to Faith. That's next time on Brave with Pastor Jeff Schwarzentraub. Today's program was produced and furnished by Brave Church in Denver, Colorado.